But the takeaway was, at the end of the night, everyone's favorite wine was actually the cheapest bottle of wine.
Oh, my God.
And we were all very surprised by that because we thought that the most expensive bottle would be everyone's favorite. And the takeaway is you don't have to spend a ton of money to have a wine that you enjoy.
All right, listeners, we're back. We are going to kick it off here with some introductions from our new tasters. So I'd like to go around the table. If you can tell a little bit about yourself, you introduce yourself. Again, we're here with Locals and Telluride. So we're going to get a little backstory on Gay Ski Week and the tab and, you know, what that is all representative of that particular charity. We've been coming every year and we're excited to hear about that. So why don't we start with you, Annie? Why don't you introduce yourself and, you know, how long you've been living here in Telluride?
Okay. My name is Annie Carlson, and I have lived in Telluride for 30 years. That was not part of the plan. I moved here right after graduating from college to be a ski bum for a year. So you can see how well that plan worked out, but I can't imagine living anywhere else now. I work for a nonprofit organization called Telluride Science. I've actually planned an event with a scientist called The Science of Wines, which was very interesting. So,
wow, tell us more.
Well, she partnered with her sister, who is a sommelier, and we discussed how different, basically the process of the chemistry of wines and why different grapes, when they're processed, taste differently. And we focus more on white varieties, but it was really interesting. It was really fun. We all drank entirely too much, and it was a fantastic time.
Fabulous. And tell us a little bit about TAB. Do you know a little bit about that background?
Yeah, TAB. So TAB, it's not the soda. It's an acronym for the Telluride AIDS Benefit, which was founded in 1994. Two locals got together. There was a man, he's since passed away, but he was a beloved member of the Telluride community, very, very creative, an amazing costume designer. His name was Robert Presley. And him and a friend got together, and he was struggling to afford treatment for AIDS. So Candy came up with the idea of launching a fashion show to support him, and he decided he didn't want it just to go to him, but to help everyone on the Western Slope who is affected by AIDS. So it started as this very, very homegrown show, maybe like five or six lines. One of them was the free box line, which if you're not familiar with Telluride, but the free box is basically one man's trash is another man's treasure. So there was a line of clothes designed out of the free box. One woman actually wore a lampshade as a skirt and pot holders as a bikini top. So the amount of talent and creativity of people in this town is just astounding. So it started in 1994, and whoosh, gosh, 30 years later, here we are. And it's this huge theatrical production. I would say it's a combination of theater and a fashion show. Lots of local businesses support it, and there's always a Telluride funk to it. I think my favorite line through the years was a nod to all the festivals that we had in Telluride. So the Nothing Festival was represented one year. You can imagine what that was. Somebody streaked across the stage to represent Nothing, but they got very creative with the lighting, fortunately. But it's a huge, huge event. They do great work, and they've just grown tremendously through the years.
Wonderful, wonderful. And that's what brings us here to Gay Ski Week and this fashion show, which is just absolutely amazing. I mean, every year it just keeps getting better. I don't know, it just keeps getting better and better each year with all the different dancers and the fashion and the local talent. It's just really incredible. Definitely something to, if you do plan to come to Telluride, if you pick that week, which we would love, it's a great charity event and just an amazing time and just so much fun. Mario, why don't you introduce yourself as a local here?
I would
here.
Love to do Please. So. I don't know that I qualify as local yet, but before I introduce myself, I just want to say that the free box line is now part of the student tab
okay.
show.
Okay.
Which is the week prior.
Yes.
The weekend prior to the adult show. And the students do an awesome job putting together.
So that's the local high school.
Yes. Yeah.
And your daughter.
Yeah. And actually, Annie's daughter was the
director?
She was one of four directors.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
She was a director of choreography.
Holy cow.
And then my daughter will be a senior next year, and she'll be in the show again. She's been in it twice.
Okay. All right.
But anyway, they do an awesome job with the free box line.
Wonderful. Yeah. Shout out to the kids there. Love it. Okay, Madia, tell us a little bit background on you.
Yeah. So moved to Telluride some years ago, about 5-6 years ago, maybe, with my husband, Kelly, who was on just a little bit ago, and my two kids and two dogs. We now have three and have been living here happily. I still travel a lot for work, try to ski from time to time, but definitely not often enough. That I will do when I retire.
Soon. Hopefully.
Soonish.
Excellent. Yeah. Well, thank you so much. And shout out to our guests, Madia and Kelly. Thank you so much for having us back every year. We try to be good guests so that we get to come back and enjoy this wonderful paradise here. Evan, why don't you tell the listeners a little bit of background, introduce yourself?
Sure. My name is Evan. I currently in Las Vegas and Los Angeles. I'm originally from New York. Boy, this is a hard act to follow here, but I have a little bit of an interest in wine. I'm excited to taste some of the wines. And I've been really enjoying myself here at the TAB Festival and the fashion show we went to. And it's just such a pleasure and an honor to be part of this amazing event and this amazing tradition and this amazing group.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Evan. Also, too, you owned a wine store, if I remember, in L.A. As well. Yeah,
that's true. I was 24 years old. I'd moved to Los Angeles, and I knew nothing about wine. Basically, I just started tasting a lot of wines, and I guess they say fake it before you make it, right? And just keep tasting, figure out what you like, and then you can start making recommendations to others about what you enjoy.
Awesome. And if I remember correctly, what year was that Opus wine you brought to Napa last time you were visiting when you were in town for the music festival for, it was a really vintage, it was in 96 or something?
Yeah, it was 1994 and 95, I think were really good vintages in Napa for Cabernet. And as a nice parting gift, when I sold the wine business, I made sure to make sure I grabbed our allocation of Opus 1 from 1994-95 and put them in some storage. And had a nice tasting a year or so ago when we shared that experience.
It was amazing. It was so wonderful. What a treat. Thank you so much for that. All right, listeners, we're going to dive into the wines. So we're starting old to new. So we're going to check out the 2012 the Nickel and Nickel Quicksilver Vineyard. Tasters, why don't we go ahead and just let's pick that up and give it a taste, and then I'll read you the notes from the winemaker. All right, so the winemaker's notes are flavors of cherry, raspberry fruits combined with a little dusting earthy quality from the Rutherford soil. That's unique to the Napa Valley. It's the area where the vineyard is. And it's really pronounced that Rutherford dusting. There's some additional notes that you might be able to pick up on chocolate and spice that harmonize together with the fruit flavors, mild tannins, and you should get a long finish on that. The other tasters recognize that, and I certainly pick up on that. It was one of my favorite wines.
As you were saying, long finish, I was feeling that. So that is the most pronounced thing of this wine.
Okay.
And perhaps chocolate.
Okay. Chocolate and a long finish. That's what you pick up. How about you, Annie? What are you picking up on that?
I was going to say chocolate and spice and everything nice. I really enjoyed all of it. It definitely does have a hint of cherry to me as well.
Okay. All right. And Evan, what are you picking up on? What notes do you pick up on?
Well, I think this one really delivers. It's a 2012. It's had some time to age in the bottle, and I think you really taste that. You taste some of the deep flavors. I taste the earthy quality. I agree with Kelly. I'm not sure what dusty is, but I definitely taste some earthy there. And I do taste some fruit, and I think this is a lovely bottle that's aged nicely, and with some more cellaring, it'll probably age even better, but definitely a good time to open it up and enjoy it.
Awesome. All right. Tasters, we're going to move on to your next one to the right. It should be the 2015 Silver Oak. Now, this is Alexander Valley. So I threw a little bit of a curveball here. Alexander Valley runs somewhat parallel to the Napa Valley, but it's just closer to the Pacific Ocean. So it's just further west and a little bit north of the valley. So this is the Silver Oak, and the tasting notes from the winemaker on this, what you should pick up, take a nice swirl and a smell of it. You should smell black currants, baking spices with notes of vanilla and coconut. And it's a consistent, tight, lingering finish on this. So let's give it a taste and a swirl and a smell. And Evan, tell us what you pick up on it.
I think this one drinks well. I think it could benefit even longer in the bottle, but it's definitely enjoyable opening it up now. I don't think you get as deep of a flavor as the 2012. I think with a little bit more aging, it'll open up more, but definitely very drinkable for now and quite nice.
All right, Maddie, how about you?
I like this as a daily, like Monday to Friday drinking wine, maybe Monday to Thursday. Easy to drink. I pick up on the vanilla.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Vanilla. All right. And Annie, what are you picking up on it?
I pick up on the black currant, and I pick up on a hint of oak as well.
Excellent point, Annie, because out of all of these, they're primarily using French oak, but Silver Oak is known for using American oak. So it's definitely different and it's very pronounced. So it's really, to pick that up, it's a strong type of tasting that you would pick up on that. Absolutely, the oak on that. All right, let's move down to the younger wines. We're going to move on to, now this is Mountain Fruit. Now we're going to move to the 2021 Brendolin Estate. It's Mount Veeder. I live right at the foothills of that particular mountain. So that we're talking Mountain Fruit here. And the tasting notes here, you should pick up aromas of violets, black currant, and blackberry. And on the palate, the winemaker is looking for black and blue fruits, along with notes of black tea, black plum, mocha, and a touch of minerality of slate, which is pretty unique to that particular mountain. Evan, what are you thinking?
The bouquet on that one is really just delightful. It's very, for lack of a better term, enchanting. It really makes my mouth water, and tastes really good now, and I think as well with more aging, it'll deliver on just such an exciting bouquet.
What about you, Maddie? What are you picking up on your taste?
Well, I was multitasking in my head.
I see that, so as usual. Well, tell us.
Snap. Okay, so here's hands down, like when I put it to my nose before I tasted it, it just smelled like a bouquet of flowers, actually.
Okay. Yeah. All right. You're picking up on those violets then.
And it smells like tea as well.
Wow. Yeah. You get the tea.
I do.
Wow. Awesome. Annie, how about you? What are you picking up on that?
I do smell the florals in it. I would say maybe the flavor overall is not as robust as the prior two that we have tasted, probably simply because it's a younger wine, but it's very smooth, easy to drink. I like it. And you know, mountains and fruit, those are two of my favorite things. So what's not to like?
All right. All right. And again, listeners, this is degrees of greatness, and it's really palate. You know, I mean, they're all amazing wines, and it's just a matter of what you pick over there. Did you have another comment?
I was going to add something based on what Annie said. It's super drinkable right now, but just based on that bouquet, I would, you know, you can't go wrong grabbing some bottles of that and put it in the cellar and opening them when you have some friends and family and want to.
Excellent, excellent. All right, we're going to move on to our last and final young wine here. It's the 2022 Odette Stag's Leap, part of the Plumpjack family of wineries. The winemaker's notes, you should smell and taste freshly baked cinnamon rolls and blueberry pancakes. On the palate, juicy raspberry with candied walnuts, a fine grainy tannins, and a mouth-watering finish of vanilla and toasted oak and a little cacao. So let's taste that, smell that first, give it a swirl. Right, Annie, we're going to go to you. What do you pick up on that?
I could have this for breakfast tomorrow morning because it has all of the above that you mentioned. It really does have that raspberry hint to it and that candy walnuts flavor. I really enjoy this one.
Excellent. Madhya, how about you? What are you smelling and tasting over there?
So this glass reminds me of having wine at the actual winery just a couple of months ago. So it brings back memories of drinking with friends. I definitely taste the walnut sort of nut flavor. There was this, a little bit of a sweet taste as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
But easy to drink.
Easy to drink. Yep. Okay. Evan, tell us what you pick up on it.
Yeah. Reading those tasting notes, I saw cinnamon rolls and I thought, like, I've never heard that in a wine description, but I'm glad that's in there because that's exactly it. I don't think I would have been able to pinpoint it, but it is. It just tastes like cinnamon rolls. I don't know how, I don't know what they do or how they make it, but it's a taste in a Cabernet that I've never tasted before. And this is a great bottle. I really enjoy it.
Excellent. All right, so we're going to finish off here with a little bit of a story about your first wine journey that you could remember. I'd love to have the tasters share that with the listeners. Who wants to go first? Who wants to take us out here?
Well, I will cast my memory to Yugoslavia.
Whoa. Mm-hmm. Whoa.
I might have been under the weather, but perhaps not. My mom and my grandfather used to give me what's called pečeno vino. It's a port.
Wow.
And so I used to have that periodically, sometimes to make me go to bed because they all wanted to hang out in the evening. It's kind of where my drinking career began, back on an island called Sheepan.
And is that port is a local grape
yes,
there that
my
they
grandfather
make.
Made it.
Aha, wonderful, wonderful. And how about you, Annie? What do you...
Well, so my first wine tasting story, I don't know if it really qualifies as wine tasting because that would be wine coolers, Bartles and James. As a sophomore in high school, I was trying to impress a boy I had a bad crush on that I would deliver In-N-Out burgers to every day. And he still never gave me the time of day. But so that party was fun. I decided that I did not like wine because wine coolers are not wine. But I do have a funny story. Flash forward, probably in my early 20s, I was in Telluride and I was invited to a wine tasting party where everyone bought a bottle of wine and it was wrapped in a paper bag. And we thought we were all so sophisticated and we had to like vote on what you was your most favorite wine, your least favorite wine, wine you thought was most expensive, wine you thought was least expensive, and one other category I'm forgetting. And you know, as the night went on, we were all writing down our descriptive adjectives for the wine. And as we went on, I looked at my piece of paper and I wrote down the same four adjectives for every single wine. But the takeaway was at the end of the night, everyone's favorite wine was actually the cheapest bottle of wine.
Oh my
yes.
God.
And we were all very surprised by that because we thought that the most expensive bottle would be everyone's favorite. And the takeaway is you don't have to spend a ton of money to have a wine that you enjoy.
Absolutely.
Was it from Trader Joe's?
It would have been if I had access to Trader Joe's back in the 90s in Telluride, so it was not. And I almost killed myself riding my bike after way over serving myself on the way home that night. But here I am today, so.
All right. How about you, Evan? What is your first wine experience that you can recall?
Well, I'm going to hijack that question. I'm going to answer it first, but then I'm going to give you another story that you didn't ask for.
Absolutely. Bring it on.
So the first wine experience was very basic, very uninteresting. I was probably 10 years old at the Passover Seder table. And the Jewish tradition is you got to drink four cups of wine. And if you've ever been at a Seder and you drink Manischewitz, it's just not a great experience. You know, that I'm not sure that counts as wine. But as a 10-year-old, that's pretty cool, right? It's very sugary. It's got a little bit of fermentation, a little bit of alcohol. And if, you know, you weigh 60 pounds, 80 pounds, you drink four cups of Manischewitz, you're having yourself a good buzz. So that was technically my first experience. But I did want to share what I think is a cool story. You intimated earlier, you talked about my early professional experience as a wine proprietor at a liquor store and wine shop on the Sunset Strip in Los Angeles. And I had an interesting experience there. I was behind the counter, and back in these days, you know, we didn't have point of sale software, so you really had to be there all the time in order to make sure your retail store is running well. So I'd be there all the time, and we'd get a lot of celebrities that come in here and there, but you got to really have a good eye for them. I never had a good eye, but one of my employees did, and he said, "Hey, that's Francis Ford Coppola is walking into your store." So he came to the counter, and I kind of jumped the line. And I said, "I got to ring this guy out." And I can't remember who he was buying. He was with a bodyguard. And I said to him, I said, "Mr. Coppola, I really love your Sophia," or whatever the name of the wine was. And he looked at me and he said, "Kid, you know, you're the first person who's ever stopped to talk to me and wanted to talk about wine. Everybody's trying to pitch me a script. And you're the only guy who's ever wanted to talk about wine." And he was chit-chatting me for a while. And I thought it was super cool. And that's my story that you didn't ask for.
What a great experience. Love it. Love it. Thank you for sharing that. And let's finish it off. So what is your favorite wine out of the four?
Number one.
2012. Mm-hmm. Nickel and Nickel. I think you're a member of that.
That's why I'm a member.
Are you a little biased
it's
there?
It's the only one I don't cancel every year.
You're right. You're right. Annie, what about you? Which one did you like got out of the best?
I'm going with the 2015 Silver Oak.
Ooh, love that. Love that. And how about you, Evan? What's your favorite?
I really like that 2012 Nickel and Nickel. I think it's aged real well, but I'm going to give runner-up to the 2022 Odette. I mean, that's just got some amazing flavors, and it's probably only going to get better with time.
All right. All right. Well, thank you, listeners, so much. That wraps up the wine tasting portion. And thank you all so much, tasters. Really appreciate that. Thank you so much.